I don't know about you, but I get goosebumps when I think about the Apostle John and I read through this gospel that he wrote. So, I will tell you up front, here's your big theological idea for the day. All Christians should know the invisible became visible. So keep that in mind. And our purpose, hopefully, this morning is that we will see the living God as he is revealed. And that wouldn't be me if I didn't have a little, just a little introduction about something, right? How many of you are old enough to remember a phrase that went like this, word up? Okay? No, huh? Word up. And so back in my neighborhood, I was probably in college or so, but in my neighborhood, it was all about word up. How you doing? Word, right? That was it. That's what we said back in the 80s, right? So let me give you a little bit. It's an American phraseology, okay, that came about, and people would say word. Well, what it meant was to tell the truth, to say something meaningful. It was a street slang expression in the 80s, as I mentioned, and it was originating in black speech and used as an interjection, like I said, word, okay? Now, I will tell you that I know it originated in my neighborhood, okay? I'm just saying. It's my neighborhood, all right? So this is kind of, you know, you hear that and you look and keep in mind word, because it's prevalent to what we're going to talk about today. Listen, we spend our whole life looking for the truth. That's what we do. You know, whether it's with individuals that we're interacting with or just seeking greater meaning in life, what is the truth? And that's why we have all these different, what I would consider new age, hello, how do you do's, and if one new age thing doesn't work, you move on to the next new age kind of thing, always seeking after the truth. So my question to you is, do you want to know the truth? Do you? Well, then open up your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to John. And this morning, I'm going to be reading in Greek. So get ready, because I think it's important as we start to walk through this Gospel that translation is very, very important. I'm only going to read one verse. But I want you to know, I opened up my Greek text while I was studying, and I haven't really looked at my Greek text. I'll use tools to help me. But for this specific morning, I wanted to be in my Greek text. So this is the Greek New Testament, 4th edition, what they call the UBS edition. This is what I've used in school, and it is still, in my opinion, the best in its original form. So, beginning in verse 1, and then we'll pick up with the New American Standard Bible translation. En arche en o logos, kai o logos en pros, ton theon. Kai theos hen o logos. All of this is going to mean something to you in a minute. In verse 1, in the Gospel according to John, we read, in the beginning, arche, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, which is logos, okay, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're going to read through all the way to verse 18, beginning now in verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came in his own, and those who came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I've said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. That is God's word today, October 8th, the year is 2017. And I don't know, again, I say this probably every single week. I love hearing God's word spoken out loud. And I hope that you do as well. Listen, this morning is about the word. And we're going to dig into that whole idea. So, as we begin this series, and the series is entitled, How Can I Know Him? How can I know him? Part one today is open the eyes of my heart. Just as we sang, open the eyes of my heart so that I might see. What's going on here? I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. This is the fourth gospel. Remember, the first three, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then we have John. And there is significant difference between John and the other three Gospels. We've talked about that a little bit as well. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those Gospels are called synoptic Gospels. What does synoptic mean? They are historical perspectives. So what they've done, just like you would read in your history books or that you've read in your history books in the past, we have dated things that have happened. Here is exactly what took place. We got the facts, right? That's exactly what Matthew, Mark, and Luke have done. Each one of them took a look at it from a bit of a different angle. So Matthew starts out with genealogy. Mark takes a little bit of a different approach. Luke takes a little bit of a different approach to him. And that's kind of how we see that going on. So those are the first three Gospels. John, a little bit different. What do you mean? Well, he didn't take a historical perspective. He wanted you to know the deity of Jesus Christ. Literally, the deity of Jesus Christ. Here's the best way I could explain it. The synoptics are looking at Jesus from the earth up, right? The man up. He ascended, right? John looks at Jesus from heaven down. This is who he was. This is who he is. This is who he's always going to be. Man, that rocks my world. I'm just telling you. I was reading this, and I can't tell you how many times I've read the Gospel of John. Everybody knows, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. We know that. But we never really think about what that entails. Right? John wrote about the love and deity of the risen king. He did not have the following in his account. Right? So he didn't have genealogy in the gospel. We're going to read about that as we move forward. But there's no genealogy. There's no recording of his birth. There's no baptism, no temptation, no exorcising of demons, no parables, no transfiguration, no institution of the Lord's Supper. No, we don't read about the agony in Gethsemane. And we don't even see the ascension of Christ in this gospel. John focused on a couple of very basic things. He focused on Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem. He focused on the Jewish feasts and Jesus' private conversations that he had with individuals. And lastly, but certainly not least, he focused on the preparation of his disciples. As we do here at Sawdust Road, what do? We focus on the discipleship of our people within the confines of this building. Why? So that we might go out and do what it is that we've actually been commanded to do. Listen, the word believe, that word believe, as you will read through this gospel, and I want to encourage you to read the gospel as we're going through this series. Don't wait for me on Sunday morning to read the passage. Start reading the Gospel of John so that you familiarize yourself with the text. But listen to this. The word believe appears 98 times in this gospel. 98 times, believe, or some derivative of that word. 98 times. Now, here's what's kind of interesting. 93%, I don't know, you know, statistics, I got a quick funny story. 78% of all statistics are made up. Okay, so just take that for what it's worth. All right? 93% of John's gospel does not appear in the synoptic gospels. 93% of what he wrote. Basically, all of what he wrote and the way that he wrote it, he took such a different vantage viewpoint to share not what took place from a historical perspective, but to truly give us what the deity and of Jesus Christ really is. God incarnate. And we're going to talk about that as well as we move through this letter, this book. Here is the key. The gospel's aim not to give us what Jesus said like a newspaper report, this particular gospel, okay, but to give us what, write this down, John's perspective was to give us what Jesus meant. It's what he meant. It's not about the events that took place. What really does Jesus mean? We know all about him. The question is, do you know him? We know about him, or we can know him. Two very different things. I've got 3 points that I want to share with you this morning. Okay, I apologize. I have 4 points this morning. So buckle down. First point, before he was here. Our second point, John the witness is sent. Our third point, the light in darkness. And fourth, and certainly not last or least, he became flesh. And there's going to come a day when I'm going to turn around and actually see what's up on the screen. So I'm just telling you. And I know Linda, because she gets my sermon, she's got it all broken down and everything. And I would not be able to do any of this if it wasn't for her. Let's take a look at this. Before he was here, we're going to cover the first 5 verses. I will tell you, that's where we're going to spend a lot of our time this morning, is in those first 5 verses. Because it is the establishment literally, of who Jesus Christ is. If we don't understand that in the first five verses, the prologue to this letter John is writing, then we're going to miss the boat. Everything else after that is not going to mean anything to you. So you have to understand that he immediately is going to define who Jesus Christ is and the importance and significance of what it is that he has done for each and every one of us. The beginning. Remember, I read in the Greek, the beginning. The word in Greek is called arche, the beginning. See, but not every English translation really gets it, right? Because in the beginning, we're talking about ruling power. We're talking about first. We are talking about literally a ruler of sorts. Okay, arche, the beginning equals a ruling power. We're not talking about the beginning when he says in the beginning. This is not what we're talking about as it relates to the beginning of this particular gospel that he's writing. He's talking about the beginning, the very beginning, when there was no beginning, the beginning. He literally is going back to creation. If you go to Genesis 1:1, what does it say? Can anybody? Do you want to read? Anybody? All right, I'll do it. Right? In the beginning, God did what? He created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. So prior to that beginning, there was nothing. We now experience creation. So in the first verse, it says, in the beginning, who was the Word? Who is the Word? Word, right? Word up. Truth. It's the truth. Jesus Christ has always been known as the truth. John writes, in the beginning was the Word, which means that he existed always. He immediately, in the first three words of this gospel, establishes the fact that Christ himself is God. In the beginning was the Word. And who was the Word with? And the Word was with God. He was with God. This is the explanation and the Word what? What does it say? And the Word was God. This is establishing the first two parts of the Trinity. So those of you who hear about the naysayers of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three parts, one God. He establishes it right here. Remember, this is not John 300 years later. John walked with Christ. John knows who Jesus is. This is not a hearsay kind of thing. This is eyewitness to the events that took place in the beginning. Now listen to this in the first verse, right? He is God. He is the Word. He is truth. Still in verse 1, he is the revealer. Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, who is Jesus Christ? One, he is the revealer of God the Father, right? And he is literally the revelation of God himself, incarnate to us. And all we're talking about here right now is before Christ ever came. We're just understanding who he was before ever stepping foot on this earth. So here we are. He is the revealer and the revelation of God the Father. He is the eternal God in verse 2, right? He was in the beginning with God. He is the eternal God. Verse 3, everything came into existence, material and spiritual, by him. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Folks, we don't exist if he didn't create it. If you want to listen to physicists who just recently came up with this idea, I think, they say, there's a theory that says I think we figured out how it is that the world was created. Listen, guys, I don't have to get my doctorate in physics. I could tell you very simply, God created the world. We could sit and we could fight over the Big Bang theory, but if you want to have that conversation, which I'm more than willing to have, there had to be a creator of the Big Bang. The Big Bang doesn't happen just because it's a Big Bang. You cannot, if you were to talk from a philosophical perspective, and I wish Logan, our son, was here, because that's what he's getting his doctorate in right now, is philosophy. He would tell you, you cannot get something from nothing. That's just a rule. It's impossible to get something from nothing. So that means there had to be something already existing. I believe his name is Jesus Christ. So when he says in verse 3, all things came into being through him, everything that we are, everything that we do, every existence, both animal, water, plant, mankind, everything came through him. Without him, there would be nothing. Does anybody believe me? I'm just curious. I'm just going to take a heart test right now, okay? And I am glad that Tracy believes, because now we can go home. So, all of that said, listen, you read this third verse, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being. If it wasn't for him, there would be nothing. And because of him, we have everything. And so all those people that walk around all day long looking for the truth can't find it. It's right here. The truth is staring you in the face, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now, I know that might be hard line for some people, and I'm not a sugarcoat kind of guy. That's not who I am. I can't. In my right mind, make you feel good about something that is not good, okay? What I can tell you is that Jesus Christ is good. What I can tell you is that Jesus Christ is great. I can even tell you that Jesus Christ is spectacular. Spectacular. Everything came into existence, material and spiritual. Who we are spiritually is given to us through Jesus Christ. You won't experience that unless you call upon his name. And we'll talk about that as we move forward. This is just the prologue to the gospel. This is the setup. This is like, hey, listen, I want you to kind of get an idea of who we're going to be talking about. So in the beginning was the Word. I just want to go like this so bad. It makes me think of Run DMC because they grew up. Those guys, you guys don't know Run DMC either. Okay, so Run DMC grew up about a mile and a half from me in the neighborhood. They were in Hollis, Queens, and I was in Fresh Meadows. It was about a mile and a half from each other. That's my neighborhood. Those are my guys. They went to Andrew Jackson High School, and I went to Francis Lewis. This is what we're talking about. Everybody's looking for what? For the truth. These guys did that, and now you got the Rev in Run DMC. He got saved. He loves Jesus now and understands what it is to know the truth. That's what we got to do. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So if it exists, he created it. If it exists, he created it. I am so excited about going through this book. I don't think you really understand. Because if I were to categorize anything as we're talking about the deity of Christ, his superiority, the one thing that I could tell you, and what was so beautiful about the way that John wrote, okay, he had the gospel that he wrote. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he wrote So much so, remember who John is. He is the apostle that God loved, that Jesus loved, that in the Last Supper, his head was resting upon the bosom of the God-man who was ready to give himself up for every single one of us. And what does God do? He chooses John the apostle to give us the apocalyptic, the eschatological look-see into what is going to happen. What is that? He gave us a look into the future. And he wrote it down. That is the book of Revelation. He let us see into the future for what is going to happen. And he chose John to give us that ring, that word, that truth. You're going to walk out of here today, and every time everybody says something about the word, you're going to know it is the truth. And that word will set you free, as we read in chapter 8 of the gospel. In verse 4, he is the source of life. Listen to this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are walking in darkness. I don't care that this room is lit. I'm talking about your inner being is in darkness. You can only have the light when you ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. And you turn over all that stuff that you got, that you think you're in control of, turn it over and watch your world flip, turn upside down. In verse 4, he is the source of life, the source of true knowledge. I want to read something in verse 5. This is very interesting. This is where we talk about translating, okay? And each and every one of you, let me just share this with you. You do not have to be able to read the Greek, okay? You don't have to. If you've got a computer, you can get tools that help you, what they call an interlinear Bible. It explains the grammar. If you want to study the word, you can do that without having to actually read the Greek text. But listen to what it says here in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When we use the word comprehend, we think understand, don't we? I didn't comprehend, I understood. It's not really. If we were to translate this the way it should be translated, the darkness could not overpower. And that makes a big difference. The darkness cannot overpower the light. It's not about comprehension. Jesus wasn't looking for Satan to comprehend him. Okay? Satan could not, will not, overpower Jesus Christ. And we will read all through this gospel about his love, about his wanting us to be where he is when the time comes. But we can't do that if we don't ask him to be our Lord and our Savior. So in verse 5, as we read, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. Our second point this morning. I had something else I wanted to say, and I just had a moment, a senior moment, I guess. But our second point, John, the witness, is sent. Listen to this in verses 6 through 8. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, I'll put in perspective for you real quick. The nation of Israel has not seen a prophet in 400 years. This is a prophet in the old style. God called John the Baptist. When did he call John the Baptist? Well, if you go back to the synoptic gospels, we hear about Mary being pregnant and going over to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is pregnant with John. Right? And John, as soon as Mary walks in, boom, moves in her belly. And we know at that point, John the Baptist has got something great ahead of him. There are no mistakes in the Bible. I can tell you that right now. God does not make mistakes. The name John, you ready for what it means? I think you're going to get a kick out of this. A gift from God. A gift from God. That's what John means. If you were to translate that name, a gift from God. I mean, that is in and of itself. You tell me, God doesn't make mistakes like that. It doesn't happen. He is the first prophet in 400 years. Then he bore witness to the light. He bore witness to the light. Listen to what's going on here. He says, he was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. I did years ago, I did a third-person sermon in biographical preaching, talking about, and I might have even spoke of it here, about John the Baptist being a blocking back. So for those of you that are football fans, the role of a blocking back or a fullback is to open up the hole for your running back so that he could get through and score the touchdown. That's who John the Baptist was. He was that great, big, bruising, 255-pound blocking back that's going to knock a defensive end off so that Jesus could run through. He opened up the hole for him to get there. This is who I'm talking about. He wasn't the one, but he testified about the one who was going to come. And that's what, in my opinion, and I think in most opinion, that is John the Baptist. Just an unbelievable opportunity. All of us should pray that God would use us in such a way that we might testify about the one who is coming. Not for the first time, but he's coming again for the second time, and he is going to reconcile each and every one to him. A third point this morning is that the light in darkness, verses 9 through 13. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. So, let's take a look at this. He was coming into the world to do what? To enlighten it. The world was messed up. I don't know about you. What do you think about our world today? I think our world today is pretty messed up. There's a lot of junk going on. You know, people say, this is the worst it's ever been. You know what? This has been going on throughout history. You know, it just looks a little bit different because why? Because our age is a little bit different, so we look at it from a little bit of a different perspective. But the reality is, war is prevalent, okay? War has been in our history before the revolution, during the revolution, and onward, we have had war. So, you know, we've had people who we consider to be bad people, and we've had people who we consider to be good people. That's throughout history. We have prisons because not everybody is so hot. Those prisons have been coming and going straight up, right? So Jesus' whole mission was to enlighten the world about him being the light of the world, the creator of all things. That's who he is. And so he was coming into the world to enlighten it. He made the world, and yet they didn't. Listen to what it says. They didn't know him. In verse 10, okay, here's one of those things in my study. It wasn't that they didn't know him. They knew him. They knew who Jesus was. They didn't recognize him. They did not recognize him. To me, is a better translation. It wasn't about knowing him. It was about recognizing what it was that he and who he was. That's what we had the problem with. And today, Okay? Today, you can go out of this place and you can talk to people all day long and they will tell you they know about Jesus Christ, but they couldn't recognize him if he was standing in front of them. And that is where we come in. As a body of believers, our job is to enlighten those who might know about him but don't know him, don't recognize him. That, it changes the whole perspective of what we're talking about. He made the world, and yet the world did not recognize him. There was acceptance. Listen, not everybody rejected. There was acceptance. And what does he say? If you call upon my name, you will be saved. And he saved them. And they became what? Children of God. It says, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. When you share the gospel, if you're coming on Wednesday nights, and if you're not coming on Wednesday nights, I want to tell you, you need to come on Wednesday nights. Because we're talking about what it is to share the gift that has been given to us with those who don't know what that gift is. They don't recognize it. They don't know him. They might know a little bit about him because you hear it in the news all the time. I know who Jesus is. Yeah, but you don't have a relationship with him. You don't have the hard facts. You don't get it. And we're doing a study on Wednesday nights called Sharing Jesus Without Freaking Out. You don't have to freak out. Kirk said it 100 times in the first 5 weeks that he was doing this. If you knew enough to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know enough to talk about him. You had to know something to understand that you needed to make a decision. And if you understand that much, then you know enough to go share that truth with somebody else. That was a profound thing. I wish Kirk thought of it himself, but it was still a profound statement that he made. There was acceptance, and he made them children of God, not because of blood, but because of God himself. Here's our fourth and final point, which is most important, right? He became flesh. Jesus became flesh. God became flesh. Nobody has ever seen the essence of God. If you look back into the scriptures, into the Old Testament, nobody could look upon the face of God. They would, boom, they were gone at that point. But what he does is he reveals himself through Jesus Christ. What does Christ say? He says to his disciples, if you see me, then you have seen the Father. If you know me, then you know the Father. That's our God. He made himself available to each and every one of us. Listen to what happens in verses 14 through 18. The Word existed, listen, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word up, the truth. That's what we're talking about. The truth. That is who Jesus Christ is. If I didn't make that point clear, I hope you got it. But the Word existed co-equal with God before anything. He was there. They were co-equal, the same. And then he does the most outrageous thing ever. He becomes flesh to dwell amongst us. Oh, could you imagine being there and witnessing that? I mean, look at verse 15 with me. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. He existed before everybody, before everything. He existed. None of us can hold claim to that. John the Baptist is witness to the incarnate word. He is witness to the truth. And as we move through this text, you're going to see in the testimony when he sees Jesus come by and he's like, oh my gosh, he knows. Not about him, he knows him. Big difference. So I get excited, right? Jesus' superiority rested in his pre-existence with the Father and therefore his deity. Because he was with the Father at all times, when we talk about this deity, we're talking about his kingship, his being above all things. He's not like anybody else. He's not like Muhammad. He is not like Buddha. He is not like Joseph Smith. He is not like any of the made-up nonsense in New Age cults that take place, like Scientology, okay? Who this whole religion is based off of a guy who was a failed, what? Science fiction writer, trying to make it as a screenwriter. He says, that's it, I'll go ahead and build this religion. Come on, guys. Seriously? I mean, if you got half a brain in your head, you got to look at that and go, what? You know, we record our sermons also. So if this gets out there, I'm not posting it this week. No, I'm kidding. I don't want anybody. Listen, if any of you watch a little bit of television and you see Leah Remini talking about Scientology, they'll be knocking on the door before I know it. I won't even be able to get home and they'll be here. They got cameras all over the place. But it's a beautiful thing. Okay. We're talking about the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was, is, always will be. Nobody else could profess that. Nobody. David, he was not the Savior. Jesus came through that line. But David's buried. The last time I checked, the stone was rolled away. And Jesus wasn't there. He rose. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because he is co-equal with the Father. That's the one that I know. Not that I know about, but I know him. I know him personally. I know him intimately. And he wants to know each and every one of us in that same very special way. Listen, in verses 16 and 17... I'm running a little bit over. We see the replacement of grace through Moses. Okay? Moses brought us the law. God said, okay, listen, you guys are my people. I love you. You never listen to me. No matter what I do, you're always like, you know, there's something wrong. I give you a little something, then you start complaining about something else. So I give you a little something else, you start complaining about another thing. Right? And he gives down the law. He says, listen, here's it. Here's the deal, guys. And yet we didn't listen. And so the law made way for who? Made way for the grace of Jesus Christ. So that he could say, it's not about going to the tabernacle to ask for forgiveness of sins every single year and giving a burnt offering. Jesus Christ was that offering. He died once. He did it for everybody. He took the sin of the world. He went up on that cross. He bore the stripes, the scourges, the beatings, the torment, everything so that we would have the opportunity to have everlasting life. And you will never be in a service in this church and not hear me say that. He is the only way. There is no other way. Verse 18 as we close. No one has seen God's essential nature, and yet we see him through Jesus. This is, quite frankly, this is the confirmation of the greatness, of the deity of Jesus Christ. His throne that he sits upon is the throne that he has promised to bring us to. He is above all things. Not some things, all things. Russ and Jack are going to come up, and we're going to close this morning with just a moment of reflection and time. And I want to say this to you as I kind of close things out. And I always read this because I like to be sure that I get it all in. So here's what we're saying, right? We serve a mighty God. I mean, he's really, not for lack of a better term, but he's, you know, he's the Word. He is. He's the truth. Right? So this morning we opened our eyes of our hearts. Jesus is the real deal. He's not a facsimile. Okay? It's not a make-believe kind of thing. He is the real deal. I'll say it one more time. Word up, guys. He's the truth. Right? I actually wrote that there, which is unbelievable. But John shows us the true deity of Christ. He is God incarnate. And if you have never called on his name, you have heard the evidence of who he truly is. And maybe this day, this morning, October 8th, 2017, maybe this is the day. This is the day that you kind of brush away all the nonsense in your life and say, I understand that it is not possible for me to make every single thing happen myself. That there is a God in heaven who wants a very personal relationship with me. And that I can give all my junk up to him and he'll bear that burden for me. It's time. Stand with me if you would. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask this with all respect to each of you that are here this morning. If you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, then I want to invite you to do that today. You don't have to do anything special. You don't got to give me money unless you want to. No, I'm kidding. But you don't have to do anything other than confess that you want him to be your Lord and Savior. Recognize that he lived, he died, he rose on the third day, and that without him, you will be eternally separated from God the Father. He has his hand outstretched to you right now, saying, come on, let's go. That's the truth. You will never get right to get him. It's not going to happen. We're so messed up as a people. There's just nothing you could possibly do to be right. He's the only one who's right. But I can promise you that if you ask him into your life, he will change you forever, for eternity. It will be something like you have never experienced. If you want to do that today, with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, don't look around you, but if you want to raise your hand and ask Jesus Christ into your life, I want to invite you to do that. Don't be afraid. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to single you out and ask you to come down the aisle, but I want to know that today is the day that you have chosen to walk from darkness and into the light. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Let me pray with you as we have a moment of reflection. Father God, we love you and praise you and just ask, Lord, today that if there was one that called upon your name, Father God, that they would be bold enough to let the world know that they made a decision to walk out of the darkness and into the light. That today they heard the truth, the word, is who you are. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray as we continue in our time of reflection.